Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep
Let's
dive?
do it.
All right. Today, we're going behind the scenes of the cannabis industry
Oh, wow.
and more specifically, how light manipulation can like dramatically impact plant growth and yield.
Interesting.
So I'll be honest, even I didn't know how complex this was until I dug into this article from AmeriCover.
Really?
Yeah, they specialize in cultivation supplies
Okay.
and the article is called "What is the Best Light Cycle for Flowering Cannabis?" Now, you might be surprised at how this knowledge could be useful, even if you like never plan on growing anything.
That's right. Light is something we take for granted.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the world of plants, it's super powerful.
Absolutely. So, okay, let's start with the basics.
Okay.
This article talks a lot about light cycles. Can you maybe explain what that means
Yeah.
and why it's so important for cannabis plants?
So a light cycle is basically the pattern of light and darkness a plant is exposed to over a 24-hour period.
Okay.
It's like the plant's day and night. And for cannabis, which is a photoperiodic plant, this cycle is really important because it tells the plant when to move between different growth stages.
Photoperiodic. That sounds kind of complicated.
It's a pretty simple idea.
Okay.
It just means that the plant's internal clock is, so to speak, synced with the length of day and night.
Okay.
Like, think about how some animals just, know when to migrate based on the changing seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Cannabis is kind of the same. They use light as their calendar, and by, messing with the light cycle, growers can influence how the plant grows and develops.
The growers can trick the plant into flowering more often
Yep.
for better yields. That's amazing.
Yeah. But the article also mentions that darkness is just as important as light.
Exactly.
It even compares interrupting a plant's dark cycle to like turning on a light while someone's sleeping.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a bit? Like, why is darkness so crucial?
For sure, darkness isn't just, no light.
It's a time when plants do important things, kind of like how our bodies repair during sleep. So during the dark cycle, cannabis plants produce hormones like florigen, which is key for, triggering the whole flowering process.
Okay.
And interruptions to that darkness, even short ones, can really mess up that balance.
Wow.
It can lead to stress, bad yields, and even weird stuff in the plant's development.
Like, the article mentions hermaphrodites, right? Why
Right.
is that a bad thing?
So hermaphroditism is when a cannabis plant grows both male and female parts.
Interesting.
It's like a survival thing when they're stressed,
Okay.
but it's really bad for growers because those male flowers can release pollen and
Oh.
then fertilize the female flowers,
Oh no.
and you end up with seeds in the buds.
And I'm guessing seeds and cannabis buds are not what people want.
Nope, not at all.
Okay, that makes sense.
Most people want, sensimilla without seeds.
Right.
Seed production just like takes away from producing the good stuff, the cannabinoids and terpenes.
Yeah.
Plus, seeds make the buds harsh to smoke, and they can crackle when you burn them.
Yikes.
It's all about those potent seedless buds.
Okay, that makes sense. So back to the light cycles.
Yeah.
The article talks about two main phases of growing, vegetative and flowering. Can you break down those phases and how the light cycles fit in?
Yeah, so think of the vegetative stage as, the plant's childhood.
Okay.
It's all about growing big and strong, getting good roots,
Right.
and making lots of leaves.
So it needs a lot of light.
Exactly. It needs a light cycle, like long summer days. Typically 18 hours of light and 6 hours of darkness.
186.
That's right, 186.
Gotcha.
All that light helps it grow fast and store up energy for flowering.
And then when it's time to flower, the light changes, right?
Exactly. The flowering stage is all about reproduction.
Right.
So to make that happen, growers change the light cycle to be like shorter autumn days. Usually it's 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark, a
Okay.
12-12 cycle. This shift in light tells the plant, hey, it's time to make those buds.
Wow, so growers are like playing Mother Nature, controlling the seasons indoors?
Pretty much.
That's fascinating. But the article also mentions light deprivation.
Right.
Can you explain what that is and why growers use it?
So light deprivation is a way to control the flowering cycle of plants that are grown outdoors or in greenhouses.
Okay.
It's all about getting that 12-12 cycle, even when the sun isn't cooperating.
I see.
Growers basically trick the plants by covering them with light-proof tarps during the day.
Really?
Yeah, to create artificial darkness.
Oh, wow.
This makes sure the dark periods are consistent and they can get multiple harvests in a year.
That's smart.
It is. but it can be tough.
What are some of the challenges?
The biggest one is making sure it's totally dark during those tarp hours.
I can imagine.
Even a tiny bit of light can mess up the flowering.
Right.
And we get those problems we talked about before.
Mm.
So growers use special tarps made from, like, heavy-duty material, and they got to seal up any gaps in their greenhouses.
Wow.
Some even have fancy automated systems that control the tarps.
Really?
Yeah, for precise timing.
That's impressive. It does. All that effort just to get the light right.
Exactly. It shows how dedicated these growers are.
Yeah, for sure. But why go through all that trouble with light deprivation when you could just grow indoors with artificial light?
Good question. There are pros and cons to both.
Right.
Light deprivation lets growers use the sun, which can save energy.
Makes sense.
And often makes healthier plants.
Mm.
Plus, greenhouses give more space for plants to get bigger, so maybe bigger yields.
Okay.
But it does require a lot more work, and it's less predictable than just, you know, growing indoors where you control everything.
So it's a trade-off, harnessing nature versus indoor precision.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see how complex all this is.
It is.
But before we get into the tools and techniques of light manipulation, I want to step back for a second.
Okay.
This whole concept of light cycles and how plants respond to light.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it could apply to more than just cannabis, right?
Absolutely. What we're talking about here applies to lots of plants.
Wow.
Think about all the crops we need for food and stuff.
Right.
Understanding and using light cycles could change agriculture, like, completely.
Really?
Yeah, we could get bigger harvests, better crops, maybe even help with food shortages.
Wow. That's a big thought.
It is.
So even though we started with cannabis, this all has way bigger implications.
For sure.
For how we, like, understand and interact with plants in general.
Exactly. We're all part of this big web of life.
Yeah.
And light connects us all.
That's true.
By understanding plants and light, we, you know, we appreciate nature more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even learn about ourselves.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think that just by, you know, playing with light, we can change a plant's whole life.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm a little skeptical.
Really?
If it were that easy to get more crops and better plants just from the light, wouldn't everyone be doing it already?
You make a good point.
It's not quite that simple, like flipping a switch.
Okay.
Remember, it's a bunch of things working together.
Mm-hmm.
Light intensity, how long it's on, the spectrum. Even when the light hits the plant, it all matters.
Mm-hmm.
And different plants need different things.
Right.
What works for cannabis might not work for, you know, tomatoes or something.
So it's not just more light, it's the right kind of light at the right time.
Exactly. It's about, like, fine-tuning the light to what that specific plant needs.
I see.
And this is where the research gets really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Scientists are trying all sorts of new stuff, like using LEDs to make custom light spectrums.
LEDs?
Yeah, LEDs.
Okay.
So they can, like, optimize photosynthesis and how plants use nutrients.
So instead of just copying sunlight, we could make artificial light that's even better.
That's the idea.
That's wild. But what about the cost? Wouldn't all that fancy light stuff be really expensive?
Some of it is, yeah, especially the newer technology.
Right.
But the benefits could be huge.
Right.
Imagine growing, like, 10%, 20% more crops, or even more.
Wow.
And using less water and fertilizer at the same time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that could really help with food production, especially in places with water problems or bad soil.
So it's not just about making money, it's about feeding people.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see the bigger picture here, but I'm still curious about those custom light spectrums you mentioned.
Yeah.
How do they work? Can they change more than just how fast a plant grows?
Oh, for sure.
Like, the article mentioned that light can even affect the flavor and smell of cannabis.
Right. It all comes down to, you know, how light interacts with the plant's chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those terpenes and cannabinoids we talked about? The things that give cannabis its effects and smell?
Yeah.
Research shows that different colors of light can actually change how much of those compounds the plant makes.
So by changing the color of the light, you can change how a plant smells and tastes.
Pretty much.
That's amazing. Like, are there any examples?
Yeah, there's some studies showing that, like, blue light can make more of certain terpenes.
Like which ones?
Like limon, which has a citrusy smell.
Hmm.
And red light might boost mycine, which is more earthy.
Wow. So it's like a painter's palette, but you're using light instead of paint.
Exactly.
That's so cool. But can we go even further? Could we use light to, like, control the levels of THC and CBD?
That's what researchers are trying to figure out right now.
Okay.
We're still learning. But there's more and more evidence that light can affect cannabinoid production.
Really?
Yeah. Some studies suggest that, for example, UV light can make cannabis plants have more THC.
Wow, that opens up so many possibilities.
It does.
Like breeding cannabis with specific medical benefits.
Exactly.
This is incredible, but let's shift gears for a second.
Okay.
If we can do all this to plants with light, could light be affecting us in ways we don't even realize?
That's a great question, and scientists are looking into that more and more these days.
Hmm.
We know that light is super important for our circadian rhythms. Circadian rhythms, it's like our internal clock that controls our sleep, hormones, even our mood.
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel more awake on sunny days.
Exactly.
And I know looking at screens before bed makes it harder to sleep.
That's a perfect example.
Okay.
We're really sensitive to light. And since we spend so much time indoors now with artificial light, it's making people worry about the long-term effects.
So all that blue light from our phones and stuff, that's messing with our internal clocks.
Exactly. Blue light is really good at like stopping our bodies from making melatonin.
Melatonin.
Yeah, the hormone that helps us sleep.
Right.
And when that gets messed up, we can have trouble sleeping, feel tired, get moody, even have a higher risk of some diseases.
Wow, it sounds like we need to be more careful about our own light exposure.
For sure, we can't just ignore our natural rhythms.
Right.
Just like plants need a balanced light cycle, so do we, getting enough daylight, dimming the lights at night, and putting the phone away before bed.
Okay.
All that can help keep our internal clocks on track.
Makes sense. It's amazing how much light affects both plants and us.
It is. It makes you think about how connected everything really is.
Yeah, for sure. But before we wrap up, I gotta ask,
Yeah.
if we're already doing all this with light, what's next? Could we, like, engineer light itself? Like, make totally new spectrums that do even more specific things to plants and people?
That's a question that's both exciting and a little scary,
Yeah,
honestly.
right.
We're already seeing crazy advancements in things like optogenetics.
Up to what?
Optogenetics. It's where scientists use light to control specific cells in the brain.
Wait, control the brain with light? That sounds like science fiction.
It might, but it's real and it's moving fast.
Wow.
It could be huge for treating brain disorders, understanding how the brain works, maybe even making us smarter.
That's mind-blowing. So we're just getting started with what we can do with light.
I think so.
And as we learn more, we'll find even crazier stuff.
Absolutely, and I'm sure we'll talk about those discoveries in future deep dives.
Can't wait. So it's pretty wild to think about all the things we can do with light, both for plants and ourselves.
Yeah,
Is let's get back to cannabis, which is what this deep dive is all about.
right.
The AmeriCover article talked about how light stress can like change the chemicals in the plant. Can you explain that a little more?
Sure. When cannabis plants get stressed, whether it's from light, temperature, or nutrients, they change how they produce different compounds,
Okay.
including those cannabinoids and terpenes we talked about.
Right, so it's not just the amount of light, but the quality and consistency too.
Exactly. If the light cycle is messed up, like with those light leaks, it stresses the plant. And that can make the chemicals in the buds change.
Interesting.
And that affects the potency, the smell, even the effects of the cannabis.
That makes sense. It's like how different strains have different effects because they have different amounts of cannabinoids and terpenes.
Right.
So by changing the light, growers could like fine-tune those ratios to create specific effects.
That's the idea. It's still being researched, but there's more and more evidence that certain colors of light can affect specific compounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some studies show that blue light might boost terpenes like limone and pine.
And those are good for what?
Those are known for like uplifting and focus effects, while red light might increase mycine and linalool, which are more relaxing.
So it's like a recipe book, but instead of ingredients, you're using light to create different experiences.
That's a good way to put it.
That's so cool. But I'm guessing it's not as simple as just, shining a blue light and getting a happy plant.
Haha. No, it's more complicated than that. You
Okay.
got to consider the plant's genetics, how old it is, and the whole environment.
Right.
But the potential is there to make cannabis with very specific chemical profiles
Wow.
for medicine or recreation, whatever you need.
It's incredible we're moving beyond just growing cannabis to like shaping its effects with light.
Yeah, it's pretty
Seems
amazing.
like we're becoming plant alchemists or something.
I like that.
It shows that light is more than just energy.
Definitely.
It's information, something that plants understand and react to.
Exactly.
Well, after this deep dive, I'm definitely seeing light in a whole new way.
Me too.
It's powerful stuff. It affects everything from a tiny seed to our own brains.
It really does.
Well, listeners, that's the end of our deep dive into the world of light manipulation and cannabis.
It's been a journey.
We've gone from light cycles to, like, the crazy idea of engineering light itself.
And we've talked about the science, the techniques, and, you know, what it all means.
We hope you've learned something new and that you're as amazed by the power of light as we are.
For sure.
Remember, the more you know, the better choices you can make.
That's right.
About how you interact with nature, technology, and even yourself.
Absolutely.
So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep that curiosity alive.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Until next time, happy growing, everyone, and may your days be filled with the perfect light.